It's not everyone that gets to preach here. People that your pastor trusts with all his heart, and people that your pastor knows is going to bring you a word that's going to change your life. So I count it as a privilege to preach behind this, even though it's small. It's sacred because I understand that your pastor has entrusted me with a word to change your life. How many of you guys know you have some of the greatest pastors on the planet Earth? I'm telling you. Come on, let's give it up for your pastors. Come on, let's give it up for your pastor. And I thank God for your pastors. They're amazing people. This morning, I'm going to be preaching to you out of Psalm chapter 45. I'll tell you what happened. A couple nights ago, the night I arrived here in Wasilla, I had a dream. And before I got here, about 2 weeks ago, I began to pray. I said, Lord, I don't want just a regular word. I don't want some word that has been recycled. You know, it's sometimes pastors come in and they preach a great word, but it's a word they preach to their congregation. I said, Lord, I want something fresh. I want something just for Alaska. I want something just for KC, Wasilla, Alaska. That's what I want. I began to seek after God, and he waited till 2 days before I had to preach. And as I was sleeping, the Lord gave me a dream. And share with you that dream, and I believe it's a prophetic dream. As I was sleeping, I saw a pen. Let me get my phone out so I can just read it so it makes a little bit more sense. I saw a pencil, a colorful pencil, whose job it was to write or rewrite history. As I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, why a colorful pencil? This is a church. We're serious. Why is this a colorful pencil? And the Lord said, just as I made a promise and a covenant with Moses, in the same way the multiple colors that I have upon this pencil represents the covenant that I'm making with KC. And there's a covenant that God is establishing. How many of you guys know God didn't just establish his covenant with Abraham and that was it? He continues to make covenants with people even today. And he is making a covenant with this church, and he is calling this church to a higher level, a higher standard. He's calling you to even greater things, because not only as covenant people do we have a responsibility to serve God, but we also get to walk in the blessings of a covenant. And God has made a divine covenant with this church. In that, I also saw on the end of the pencil was a freshly worn eraser. God says, I am erasing the history of old, that which has been a curse or as a curse through generations, that which has been declared as the sins of the forefathers. I'm revealing myself as a forgiving God. And then he declared to me, Alaska must know I am a forgiving God. In 1 John chapter 1, says this, that our God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. When I was a child, I would write on my piece of paper and then I'd mess up, and so I'd have to erase it. And even as I erased it, there was a little bit of residue of what I just wrote. Maybe there was a mark, an indentation of what I just wrote. And God says, I'm erasing the past completely. Those are maybe indentations left in your life or a little bit of residue. I'm coming and I'm completely cleansing the palate of your life. I'm completely cleansing your life. Totally. Your family, the records that have been kept in marriage, the records that have been kept in your life, in the past sins and the past hurts. God is coming. And not only is he doing it in your personal life, he's doing it here in Alaska. God is erasing. He is deleting the past of generational curses and sins upon this land. And he's going to do it through this church. Come on, I need you to get a little bit more excited in this place. Upon the colorful pencil were pictures. I saw a basket full of bread and fish. God spoke to me, he says, get ready for miracles of divine multiplication. I saw a staff. It was as Aaron's rod with which it budded. I saw a plumb line. Now hold on, let's stop there for a second. As I saw that staff, the Lord says, I'm going to bring something that seemingly is dead, but I'm going to bring life to it. God's bringing supernatural life to this house, and He's bringing supernatural life to Alaska. Come on. Things that are dead, areas that are dead, areas that people say no life can come from there. God is going to make those places begin to bud. Amen. Come on. It's good stuff. I'm having fun. I saw a plumb line. God is raising up a new standard of righteousness. I saw hands raised in worship. Now, this is where it got weird for me. Because I said, God, I don't understand what you're doing. What are those hands raised in worship? The Lord began to speak to me. He says, God is writing over the history of worship. He is destroying the worship of humanity and releasing a new sound of praise and worship out of this house. And the weird thing was, the word that he used was humanity worship. What is humanity worship? So I Googled it. When all fails, Google. Swipe it, right? Swipe it. And so I Googled it. I said, Lord, what does this mean? And as I looked at it, there's religions all over the world. It is all about human worship. Worshiping ourselves. Worshiping humanity. And I saw that is a stronghold and it is a bondage here in this land that God is going to destroy. And the human worship, the idolatry that has been built up in this land is going to become and it's going to turn into God, people worshiping God. And this house is going to be a forerunner of destroying human worship in this land. The last thing I saw was a little coin. It was an old coin. And at first I thought it was a button. So how's that going to work? And the Lord revealed to me this is a coin. And that what God was going to do is He was going to use this church to shift the economic structures in this land. That there is such a supernatural blessing coming upon the people of this house. That He is going to raise up people that is going to be a blessing. People that are generous, people that are brilliant businessmen and women. He's going to raise up this house and it is going to shift the economy in this land. The church is going to be used in areas that are destitute, where others would prosper, where businessmen that are not straight in doing right things, businessmen that do things illegally, they continue to prosper. And the church would say, how come all these people that aren't doing things right are prospering, but the church is not prospering? God is saying, I'm shifting it. It's turning right now. Godly men and women are going to begin to rise up and they're going to begin to take over those areas. And the economy is shifting. It's time. Listen to me. God is going to shift the economy in your own personal life. It is time right now. You have to make a decision. And then I finally asked the Lord after I saw all those pictures. I said, okay, God, what's next? And He says, now it is time for me to rewrite history. This church, and this is, the Lord showed me that pencil was really this church. And how this church was going to be used to rewrite the history of this state. You're in a place right now where God wants to do a supernatural work. And He's going to use you. Friends, you are the pencil. You have been called to rewrite history. I want to ask, as I was sharing this morning in the first service, Pastor Chris began to get a revelation of something. I want to ask Pastor Chris to just come and share with that which God showed you to add to this.
As Pastor Josh was preaching first service, I just had a word burning inside of me. And this is a powerful word. First of all, I just want to affirm it. Friday night when I was sitting in the service, I felt like God spoke to me and said, Pastor Josh has the word for this church. And it was just burning inside of me first service. I thought I was going to explode. And here's the deal. The key word to this vision that he has is the covenant. A covenant is not a small thing. A way that we see covenant very clearly is marriage. God gave me that word in the first service, marriage. He's getting ready to preach out of a chapter that God gave him in that vision that is actually a wedding song in Scripture. A marriage is not a small thing. We enter into it seriously. We take time to consider it. And when it's two people coming together, right, and making a decision, a binding contract together to live faithfully, committed to one another for all of their lives. Isn't that right? And this morning, God, through this word, is saying, He said it, I want to make a covenant with KC Alaska. And very simply this morning, before I give it back to Pastor Josh, this is what I really felt to do. I don't want you to stand. I don't want you to raise your hand. I don't even want you to say amen. How many of you are willing to make that covenant with the Lord? Because a covenant is two people making an agreement, a commitment. And the Bible says, the why I said don't raise your hand or anything is because the Bible says when you make a covenant with someone, it's not a small thing. In fact, in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, it says, don't make a vow. It's better not to make a vow to God than not to keep it. And so really simply this morning, this is what I felt to do, is that if you say, I'm willing to make a covenant with God as a part of this church, if you're new today, this probably is not for you, okay? But you're willing to make a covenant with God as a member of this congregation to see exactly what Pastor Josh said, a new thing sweep across this state. And there is no pressure right now. If nobody stands, nobody stands. This might be something you want to consider. Might be something you want to pray about. And I really don't want anyone to look to the right or to the left. But today, this is what I felt to do. If you say, yes, Lord, I'm telling you, don't make it hastily. You say, I'm committed to this house and the vision of this house. And God, whatever you're going to require of us and want us to do, I stand today to say, I commit to that. Lord, would you stand right now? You don't need to look around and you don't need to feel pressured. There's no pressure. It doesn't matter to me whether you stand or not. I'm just trying to obey the Lord. Pastor Daniel, these are your people. This is a vision. You and Dr. Morocco. And I'm going to ask you if you'd come and just pray for these folks. Would you lift your hands? Because I believe God's going to touch you this morning.
Father, before you, we say yes. We say yes to what you want to do. We understand, Lord, that the body of Christ and your bride, we're so thankful, Lord, for the different expressions in the body. Lord, today, we acknowledge the responsibility that we have to do our part. You will not do our part. And we can't do yours. So as far as it depends on us, we say yes to your will. Yes to your way. Yes to all that you want to do through us, God, as a people corporately. The vision of KC as a part of the greater body, bride of Christ. We say yes. Whatever it costs, whatever it takes. If it means death, so be it. We will stand declaring the truth of your word, resisting the devil, and he will flee, testifying of your goodness and your greatness. We will overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And we will not love our lives so much as to shrink even from death. We say yes. We thank you that you've appointed us and selected us and chosen us for such a time as this. To be your people, your expression of righteousness in the earth, your ambassador. Ministers of reconciliation. We say yes. In Jesus' name.
I can't live.
You are the strength in me. You are my everything. 'Cause I can't breathe without you. Don't wanna be without you. You are the life in me. You are my everything. And there's deep cries out to house this morning. My church has undergone a massive change. There's been a shift. And the reason I feel compelled to share this with you this morning is because I truly believe this house is going to experience not just an outpouring of the Holy Spirit like never before. There's a movement of God coming to this house. There's an anointing for multiplication coming to this house. 2 weeks ago, in my Sunday morning service, I had 336 people. It's 3 weeks ago, sorry. 336 people. The very next week, we had over 700 people in our church. In 1 week, our church doubled. This morning, there's almost the exact same amount. We brought in over 400 people on the buses. We're having young people. There's a family of about five kids that came from one of the housing projects there in Oahu. And all five kids, they were cousins, brothers, sisters, and they're all from Guam. Every single one of them were under 11 years old. The power of God showed up and they begin to manifest. Now that's fun when kids start manifesting demons. And my team grabbed those kids and they begin to lay hands on them. And we had all out spiritual warfare. And those kids left that place completely and totally set free by the power of Jesus Christ. Had kids sprawled out all over the floor. These aren't church kids. They don't know the drill. They don't know what they're supposed to do. They don't know that you're supposed to fall over to make the preacher feel good about himself. I'm joking. My favorite part is when people fall over and they're like, or they call for the usher before the pastor even gets them. Come here, I'm going to fall out today. These kids don't know any of that. They're just they don't know what else to do under the power of God. And there's this weightiness. And I'll never forget one of the services, standing here doing the altar call. As soon as the altar call was done, so we're going to lay hands on people that want to receive the power of the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You shall be my witnesses. And so we laid our hands upon these kids. And this one kid that was standing here lifted his hands in the air. And as the power of God began to fall, he began to shake under the power. And this kid is not a church kid. He doesn't know the dynamics of what you're supposed to do in church. All he knew is that he was experiencing something. He was feeling something he had never felt before. And he began to shake and shake. And we laid hands on him and he fell out in the Holy Ghost. And he's on the ground shaking violently. And his life was changed. He got up after that service and he came to one of our leaders and he says, my life is never the same. The Holy Spirit brought peace to me today. I can tell you, testimony after testimony, what God has done even just in the last 3 weeks. But I know this. This thing that God has put in my spirit about this church is that this is a time. This is a Kairos moment, a time you may never get back. So my question is, what will you do? The pen is in your hand. You must rewrite history. God has entrusted you. He has entrusted you with something so great, an amazing privilege, that you get to determine what the history books will say about Alaska. From generation to generation to generation, God is saying that those things which were the evil things about Alaska, those things that were the evil things about your life and about your family, those things have been erased. I'm giving you a new, clean slate to begin to rewrite what it is that I'm doing inside of you. But what church will you be? What kind of person will you be? What kind of father will you be? What kind of mother will you be? What kind of child will you be? What kind of Christian will you be? You make the decision. What will you rewrite in history? Even though I've got 5 minutes left, I'm excited because this thing I know, that even though there's a disturbing buzz in the sound system that's driving me batty, can you guys get rid of the buzz, please? It's him. It's your hair that's causing the buzz. Oh, because all they did was they pointed to him, and I'm sorry. But I want to read this to you very quickly because you do have beautiful hair. I just want to let you know that. On that row right there, that lady holding the baby, that entire row, just stand up, please. This morning as I was walking around just trying to get a feel for what God was doing, God pinpointed you in my spirit. And I just want to tell you, man of God, God has His hand on you. And He loves you deeply. God has found favor in you as He found favor in David. God wants to do something supernatural in you. You're a man with a mighty call. The devil's tried to work hard, man, to disrupt it. Because you are a pencil in the hand of God to rewrite the history. You say, what can I do? I don't even have a lot of friends. God says, I'm going to use you. Father, I pray right now your power, your anointing. Let them understand. Let them begin to see, Father, that which you've called into. Lord, the disappointment at times that has plagued his heart, the frustration that he's seen even in people that has hindered him. Father, I pray that those things be broken now in Jesus' name. Amen. And God, what's your name? Jamie. I don't know what it is, but for some reason when I begin to pray for you guys and just ask the Lord to do something. And Jamie, I don't know, but it's like the devil tried to attack your life in the area of loss. And he tried to steal things from you. And you've lost a lot in your life. I'm not talking about football games, but I'm talking about people. For some reason, I feel like people have been just ripped from you. And you've lost things in your life. And the Lord says that I'm coming in my power. And I'm going to bring forth those things which have been stolen, those things that have been lost. I'm going to rebuild, repay, and reconnect. And there is a season of reconnecting and reconciliation coming to your life. And God is going to begin to heal those parts of your heart that have been torn. And you're going to begin to live again, in a new way, in a fresh way. Amen. Come on, let's give it up for Jesus. I've got to give this word just very quickly, because there's things that need to be pinpointed. Number one, Psalm chapter 45. I'm going to read it for you real quick. My heart is stirred by a noble theme as I recite my verses for the king. My tongue is the pen of a skillful writer. You're the most excellent of men, and your lips have been anointed with grace. Listen, this is the passage for this church. Are you hearing what I'm saying? This is the passage for your family. This is the passage for your business. We're rewriting. What are we rewriting? This is what we're rewriting history with right here. You are the most excellent of men, and your lips have been anointed with grace, since God has blessed you forever. Gird your sword upon your side, O mighty one. Clothe yourself with splendor and majesty, and your majesty ride forth victoriously in behalf of truth, humility, and righteousness. Let your right hand display awesome deeds. Let your sharp arrows pierce the hearts of the king's enemies. Let the nations fall beneath your feet. Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. A scepter of justice. Everybody say justice. Come on, say justice. A scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom. You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. Why would we as Christians be mournful when he has poured out on us the oil of joy? Did you know joy manifests itself? You can tell if someone's joyful by the way they hold themselves. Am I joyful right now? This is my joyful face. Can you tell I'm ecstatic and just excited? And look at me. Amazing. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. So full of joy right now. I'm so joyful. No. You're manifesting depression. Who in the world? You know, have you ever watched Oprah? Anybody here ever watch Oprah? No? You're missing out. It's amazing. Look, you ever watch Oprah give away her gifts? You know, everybody's like, I still want to be there. Look at this. We all want to be there. We all want to be at that day where Oprah gives away her favorite gifts. And you watch those people. When Oprah walks in, I remember watching this one show that she did where she surprised all these military people. And she walks in and she says, hey, I'm going to give away my gifts. And all the ladies were like, ah! None of them were sitting there going, wow, amazing. Let me tell you what happens when the oil of joy comes upon you. Oil that comes straight from the throne of God and begins to be poured out upon your head. You cannot sit there and tell me.
It's the oil of joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Glory be to God. Joy. Joy. The oil of joy. You know what I like about oil? I'll just tell you, the other day, I just got crazy with it, and I poured that olive oil all over my hands, and I started praying for people. Beads of olive oil. It was like slow motion. Just going down the line. I'd hit somebody in the head and go, and it would, right? It's like, yeah, come on, oil, baby. Let me tell you about oil. When you get some oil, it begins to permeate. It changes even the molecular structure. I don't know if that's true, but of your skin. It changed. Yeah, and look, so what happens is I go to the bathroom, to the men's room, to the restroom, comfort room, depending on what nation you're from. And so I go in there and I begin to wash my hands. And it was still there. Residue from the oil was still on my hands. And I washed it again. And a third time. Let me tell you what happened when David stood under the jar of the prophet as he began to pour the oil over his head and begin to drip. You see, the problem with most of us is the experience that we have with the oil of joy is it'll boop. Lord, make sure you get it in the right spot. Just make it's got to be right there. God's not into just giving you a spot of oil. It's not about a one lump or two. It's about a gushing. He is lavish with His love. He's lavish with His joy. Last time I checked, God is not a God that withholds. He's a God that lavishes His love and His Spirit and His anointing and His grace upon you. When He forgives you of your sins, He just doesn't forgive you just a little bit. Just a touch. My cross is only able to forgive a few sins. No. When He forgives your sins, He forgives. That's right. Yeah. I think it's all. Is the right answer all? I'm not very sure. When He forgives your sins, He forgives. One more time. He forgives. And even to the... your sins. So when He pours His oil of joy upon your life, He's not just coming in with this little splash and a splishy and a splashy in the church and just going to splish and splash the church. He comes in with a gusher. Thank you so much. A gusher. He comes in and He says, I'm going to get in every little crevice, every nook and cranny of your life, every part that you even remain hidden in the very depths of your soul that you tried to keep hidden from God, tried to keep hidden from others. Not even the counselor knows what's going on. He says, I'm going to get to the very bowels of your being and I'm going to begin to change you and I'm going to begin to fill you with oil. I think it's time to just get lathered up.
We're swiping and we're lathering this morning. Sorry, that was bad. Can I tell you something that happened to me? I'm asking you all these questions. I'm going to tell you anyways. We're having these revival services. 6 months ago, something happened in my life that just was like a wet blanket to my fire. Took the wind right out of my sails. And even though I got excited, even though I did everything I could to just keep that fire burning, it was, I'm telling you what, the embers were beginning to die down. A few weeks ago, I'm sitting in a meeting, and as the guest speaker is standing in the aisle, I'm standing right around where Pastor Karen is, and I'm leaning over like Pastor Daniels, and all of a sudden I feel this warmth in my back. And it was like I was in a hot shower. I'm like, wow, Lord, this is interesting. And it began to burn even hotter and hotter and hotter and hotter. And in that moment, the Lord said, I'm bringing the joy. I'm giving you the fire back. And now I have a hard time preaching because it's like my back. I feel like I'm on fire. I feel like I'm in a hot shower right now. You ought to feel it. You ought to feel what I feel. It's really actually quite nice. It's you just kind of just hang out. And then all of a sudden, no sooner than the Lord tells me that, the speaker comes up and he goes, fire! And he hits me right in my ears. Sent shockwaves in my brain. Fire! It wasn't this. Fire. Shh. It was obnoxious. It was loud. It was definitely messy. Because my head went. And I sunk back in my seat. I was like, what is this? I can't move right now. And it was so intense that even the people on that row all went out. They're like, ah! And the lady, his wife, was sitting a couple seats next to me, and she was just flowing out in the Holy Ghost. She's just out. See, God wants to put a fire back in you. Oh, Lord Jesus, if I could get you this morning to get the fire. See, in the passage, in just the first verse of Psalm 45, just the first verse, my heart is stirred by a noble theme. If I could get you stirred up, if I could get you stirred up, church, if you can get stirred up, if you can understand that which God has called you to rewrite the history of this state, of the nation, if you could understand what God has called this church to. See, a lot of people, I every week for a whole year, I had service in a sanctuary that seats 1,000. It's not all right when you only got 190 people in the service. And you're looking at a bunch of empty seats, and every day we declare, Lord God, you're going to use us. God, you're going to do amazing things. And we'd pray and we'd fast and we'd preach like there were 1,000 people there and nothing would happen. And then in one moment, the glory of God falls and the house gets filled. The house gets filled and people are coming up to me going, Pastor, did you see? I'm like, I'm standing in front of everybody. Of course, I see everything that you are saying. It's coming about. And all I could say is God has got more. God's got more in store for you than you can even know, church. God has entrusted you. I'll never forget the day that I got called to Oahu. I hated Oahu. We have the worst traffic. We are number one for the worst traffic in the nation. And then the environmentalists, to make it worse, the environmentalists won't let us get rails. You're not building a rail here. You're going to chop down a tree. You have environmentalists here in Alaska? Yeah. Just shoot it. Just shoot it. When all else fails, just shoot it. The bigger the gun, the bigger the saw, the better.
Dig, baby, dig.
Or drill, drill. I don't know. I don't watch that song. Drill, baby, drill. You all know what I'm talking about.
So these environmentalists, you know, they just shut everything down. We put 500 signs promoting this event that we had, and we got a call from the environmentalists saying, if you don't take your signs down, they were yard sale signs. That's what they were. If you don't take your signs down, we're going to sue you. Okay. I mean, what's your response? Okay. Take your trees, and they can be used as kindling in hell. Anyways.
I got to stop my sermon right now. Pastor Daniel's getting nervous. No, you want some more of this. Trust me. Listen. Please hear my heart. It's time to get set ablaze. The fire of God changes everything. It's time to allow the embers to be stirred. God is using you to rewrite history. Let me finish my story as I'm in Alaska. Having issues, trying to figure out what to do. As I hate Alaska. Not Alaska, Oahu, sorry. I'm all caught up. As I hate Oahu. And I'm like, Lord, don't you ever know. And I told the Lord specifically, I said, Lord, unless you break my heart, I don't give a rip if you give me a house, a car, everything. And you even come down from heaven and tell me you're moving to Oahu. I will not do it unless you break my heart for the people. Because I wasn't going to be another Jonah. Hello? And I asked God to break my heart. See, what's going to happen is in this time, God's going to break your heart for Alaska. And what you do next is you write upon the pages of the history of the state. God uses you as a church. Be careful to know this. That what you do next and what you implement in this church next and what goes on in this church will lead the state. This is not just another small church. This is not just another place that you come on Sunday to keep warm for all those who don't have heating in your house. This is a place that's going to shake the nations. And this is the word of the Lord for you. You are the pen in the hand of a skillful writer. And you're going to rewrite the history of Alaska. I want everybody to lift your hands right now. We need the anointing. We need the fire of God. We need the power of God right here, right now. We need to be stirred up. Come on, some of you need a fire. You've gotten so lethargic. You've gotten apathetic. It's time to get a fire set in you. Come on. What happens when you get a fire on you is you become a witness. You become a witness. Come on, Peter. Peter denied Jesus 3 times, and when the Holy Spirit came upon him, it radically changed his life. He became one of the greatest witnesses of all time. Friends, please, this is the moment. Don't allow the devil to throw a wet blanket on your fire. Don't allow him to put you out. This is a moment to arise with a fire in your spirit. To allow the oil of joy, the oil of God to flow over you. Holy Spirit, come and fill this church. Hallelujah. I want you guys to do me a favor. I want you to play the. I want to show you guys something that I believe is going to happen here. Jesus. I believe this is going to happen here in Alaska, in this church. In 1 week, God doubled our church. I want you to see some of the things that took place when you watch this video. I went from having a service where we'd have maybe two or three people at the altar call 3 weeks ago to an altar call just last week where I could barely even lead people in the sinner's prayer because I was crying so much because we had 92 people at the altar. And they weren't people that came to the altar time and time again. We're talking about people that are giving their lives to Jesus Christ for the first time. I believe this is going to happen. Do you feel it? Do you feel it in this house? It's going to happen here in this church. Today, this is what I feel in my spirit. I'm overwhelmed because I know I can see what God's going to do in this house. You couldn't convince me that what happened to my church in the last 3 weeks was going to happen
Even though I prayed about it, friends, I can tell you right now, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or even imagine. You can't even imagine or comprehend what God's about to do. I need to do this. I feel compelled to do this in my spirit. I have to. You're going to have an Alaska Fest right here in this church. We bust in, just during our Oahu Fest, we bust in hundreds upon hundreds of kids. We brought in over 960 people on the buses alone. I want to take an offering right now for what happened to us in Oahu. I want to happen here. This offering is not going to me. This offering is not going to my church. Look, I am blessed. Our church is blessed. This offering is going to rewrite the history of Alaska. This offering is going into this house to do an Alaska Fest here and to see powerful things happen. Will you join me, please? Will you help me? Will you please help me see everything that God showed me in my dream to happen here in Alaska? Right now, ushers, if you go up and down the aisle, if you need an envelope to keep track of your giving record, go ahead and put your hands up. If you're writing on a check, write your checks out to KC. Every week, we bus in over 400 people every single week. This morning, we bust in over 400 people. Every single one of those people got groceries. Every one of them. We give away bill pays. We pay people's bills. You know what I believe? This is what I'm believing for Oahu Fest. There's going to be a day where we're going to give away homes and cars. We're going to pay off people's debts. Oh, come on. Why would you do that? Because Jesus one day stood before over 5,000 people. And Peter comes to him and says, "Hey, Jesus, the people are hungry." And he didn't say, "Oh, well, send them away. I don't have anything to give them. I already led them in the sinner's prayer. I have nothing else for them." He said, "Okay, Peter, feed them." Peter says, "It's impossible. It doesn't matter. What do you have?" "I got 5 loaves, 2 fish. And Jesus blessed it, multiplied it, and fed over 5,000 people in one sitting. He didn't have to. He could have sent the people away, but it shows the heart of Jesus. When he looked at a paralytic that was lowered from a ceiling, and he looked at this paralytic and he said, Friend, your sin is forgiven you. Your sin is forgiven." Pharisee's like, "Oh, no way. What's going on?" He says, "I said this so that you may know that the Son of Man has the ability to forgive sins." And then he looks at him and he doesn't say, "Oh, well, so now you know I can forgive your sins. Okay, bye." He looked at him, he says, "You rise, pick up your mat, and walk." That's why the Bible can say that he is able. He is faithful. He is a giver, and he shall supply all of our needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Jesus wants to meet the needs of this place. And right now, as we give in this offering, we're going to see miracles. You're going to see people healed. You're going to see people delivered. You couldn't even imagine. Get ready. Are you ready right now? I want you to put that envelope in your hand, and I want you to pray. God's got an amazing husband for you. And the other day when I laid hands on you, and I even told Pastor Daniel, I told your dad this morning as well, I was praying for your family, I laid hands on you. God says that he's blessing you because of your faithfulness and your heart after him. And you are going to be crazy, crazy blessed. Father, I ask right now, even those things, insecurities, issues, fears, concerns, Lord, I pray that right now you just set her free from it. And Lord, that you bless her totally and completely in Jesus' mighty name. Father, we pray that you bless this offering. We pray for revival. Give us revival in Alaska. Lord, in the ghettos, Father, in the projects, they'll have revival not just in the church, but in the highways and byways. But Lord, I thank you for what you're doing. Let this church multiply and grow. Father, I ask that this church double.
triple, quadruple, God. Because it is a church that can be entrusted with the harvest. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's give.
Today would be the last day here on the earth, and you would face the judgment, as the Bible says. You don't want to receive a judgment unto condemnation, and the only way that you can do that is by receiving the free gift that covers your sin. Somebody deserved death. You deserve death. I deserve death. We've all stolen. We've all cheated. We've all lied. We've taken the Lord's name in vain. Everyone has fallen short of the glory of God, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. If you're not right with God, won't you receive this free gift? Ask Him to forgive you, be your Lord, and be your Savior. If that's you, you've never done that, and you know you need to do it today, perhaps even for the first time. If that's you in a moment, I want you to lift your hand. Or maybe you've given your heart to the Lord, but you're not living for Him. Nobody moving around. You're not living for Him. You know you're living a life of compromise, and you want to get right with God. Come off the fence of compromise and give your whole heart to Him. Or thirdly, you're here and you just need to be assured of your salvation. The enemy comes and he lies to you. Says you're not saved. You're not forgiven. If you fit in any of those categories, lift your hand right now. God bless you. God bless you. Back up. I see that hand. God bless you. Lift your hand. You want to get right with God. God bless you. Thank you for your honesty. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, if you meant business with God, we never want to embarrass anybody. And I know it's the close of the service, but this is probably the most important thing that could happen right now. We don't want you embarrassed. But we also understand that if you cannot acknowledge Jesus in front of a group of people that really love Him, it'll be very difficult for you to do that in public, in front of a world that doesn't care. So if you meant business with God, whether you raised your hand or not, quickly come to the front as we sing. Thank you. everything you ever did wrong. Everything you ever did wrong. Swiped out. And when He looks at you, He sees you perfect. He looks at you through the lens of the blood of Jesus. That's what's called good news. That's why, that's what gospel means. The gospel means good news. Good news to the poor. You'll have to be blown up on. You'll have to have a broken heart. He'll take out your heart of stone and put it in the heart of flesh, and He'll set you on course to fulfilling the purpose for which you have a pulse today. There's a reason for your living, breathing. So come on, just pray right out loud with all your heart, with all sincerity. Pray with me right out loud. Say, dear Jesus, thank you for dying in my place. Thank you for rising again from the grave for me. Forgive me of all my sin. Come into my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Wash me and cleanse me. Make me new. I receive your free gift of salvation. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And help me to fulfill all my purpose in the earth. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Amen. Now just lift your hands up to the Lord. I'm going to pray that you get filled with the Holy Spirit. Because if you don't have the infilling of the Holy Spirit, it's like trying to drive a car with no gas. It just doesn't work. You need His power. You need His enablement. So Holy Ghost, we pray now, fill each and every one. Holy Spirit, touch. Holy Spirit, touch. Fill them. Break every bondage. Break every chain, depression and anxiety. Every curse is to naught now because of the blood of Jesus. Be free. Be healed. There's a great destiny on this family. Great purposes. Plan of God. Call of God. The enemy's tried to take you out time and time and time and time and time again. He just has not been able to do it. And he can't, and he will not be able to do it. You are supernaturally protected and blessed by God for His purposes. I'm reminded of when I saw you preach to the youth. That anointing, that power that came. You were right here in the sanctuary and you preached to the youth. And those kids were impacted. I stood in the back and I just said, my God, what an anointing. Put new fire on it. Somebody say presently. Take someone by the hand tonight, right now, this morning, this afternoon, whatever time it is. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to close in prayer. Don't miss tonight. 6 o'clock will be the concluding service of our prophetic conference. Do not miss tonight. Somebody say hallelujah. Lord, bless your people. Cause your face to shine upon them. Lift up your countenance towards them. Be gracious to them. Keep them and give them peace. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. We'll hope to see you tonight.